thinking about the real difficult times that people in the Midwest are having with the flooding. Reminded me of a time where a flood hit the Pittsburgh area. I think it hit Johnstown fairly hard in the mid-70s and did affect the Ohio River. And my grandmother lived fairly close to the Ohio River at the time, and so we had to go and get her out of the floodwaters. And it was kind of a scary thing to see the streets and the river flowing through where the street used to be. And my dad going to get my grandmother, picking her up and carrying her to the car, and the water being almost waist deep, and thinking, oh, wow, this is pretty bad, and how people suffer through that and go through that. We don't control nature. We say, God, help us in the midst of the changing weather that is there. And certainly there's a message to turn to God and depend on Him in all kind of change of things around us. But where we went on vacation down in South Carolina and a number of states down there, the exact opposite is happening and has been happening for a number of years. There is a significant drought. And when we were there 7 days, not a drop of water. And we noticed hard to find green grass and just everything very, very dry. And the news people said that the South has been experiencing a fairly significant drought for the last 100 years. Just not having the rain that normally you would expect to fall in that part of the country. It did remind me of a passage in Amos chapter 8 where God says this about whether we hear His word or not hear His word. He says, the days are coming when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. And that's even a more devastating famine, God says, or drought, than any severe weather would bring in any manner. If you've gone through any kind of surgery, probably the doctor said, don't eat or drink anything for 12 hours. And so you come up to the surgery time, and if the surgery's delayed in some manner, then you go another 4 or 5 hours without water, without food, and you start to feel it. And you start to say, this is not good. You know, everything about who you are says, I need this to survive. And God's letting us know that this is the same type of a heart we're to have for His word. That sometimes when we don't listen to what He's telling us on a daily basis, He'll send a famine. So when we want to hear Him, we can hear Him. And we say, I haven't heard from the Lord. And it becomes a very terrible thing for us in our soul. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you think about the Lord, He's so gracious to want to speak to us and want to give us truth about life and truth about Himself. We are lost without that. He's not a God who is shy or reclining. He's a God who initiates. And so He reaches out to us to speak to us clearly in a number of different ways. Number one, in creation. I was talking to a person the other day. They said they first started to turn to Christ just by looking at nature, looking at the clouds. And it reminded them of some scripture that they had heard. So you can, by nature, hear God saying, hey, I made this, and I am great, and I love you, and you need me. That's the message you can hear in nature if you're awake to that. And then He speaks to us in our conscience, this God of truth. The Bible says this about our conscience. The requirements of God's law are written on our hearts. And that should make us all very nervous. The requirements of God's law are written on our hearts. So we can never say to God, I didn't know. I didn't know that was right or wrong. We can say to God, I didn't want to do right. I forgot to do right. We can say that. But we can never say, I didn't know. Because the requirements of His law are written on our hearts. And then God speaks to us clearly in His word, the Bible. And throughout history, people's lives have been changed and delivered from great error and falsehood by looking into His word. So if we could today experience again that His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, it'll provide great health for our emotional stability and how we're doing in life in general. In Isaiah, you know, God really values a heart that says, I want to hear God's word. I want to hear from him. In Isaiah 66, God says, this is the person I esteem or I think is on the ball, the one who trembles at my word. Again, that's that one who says, I really need to hear from God. God's there to meet you and I. Paul had a great respect for God's word, even in the Old Testament. He said the folks in the Old Testament had the very words of God. That's incredible. I keep letters. My family writes me little notes, you know, Father's Day this and birthday that. And so I keep them. And when I read them, I say, that's the heart of my loved one. Well, that's the Bible to you and I, the heart of our loved one, the Lord. And Job said, I esteem God's word so much more than my daily bread. So the value people placed on the Bible needs to be rediscovered in our lives so our health could be the way it should toward the Lord. So don't take it for granted. It's a basic, but it's a basic we slough off on all the time. It was one of my motivations that God used to become a pastor, because I love to meet Christ in his word and to help others do so. So it means a lot to me by my experience, in addition to the truth, which is more important than my experience, for sure. Now, the danger is if our minds aren't changed by God's truth or the Bible, then our minds will be deceived from our own thinking and from the values of the society around us. So we have the truth of God, or we have many lies. Ravi Zacharias said, there's only one angle at which to stand straight. All other angles are crooked. So there's one truth from the Lord that we need to know, and many ways to go astray, unfortunately. But I saw a sign on vacation outside of a college. I don't think it was a Christian college, but it could have been based on the sign. The sign outside the college said this: don't believe everything you think. That's biblical. Don't believe everything you think, because our thinking is selfish and sinful and flawed. And we need to bow ourselves before God and say, Lord, I need your light so I could know the truth and not be prejudiced on my own way of thinking. There's a way that seems right to a person. In the end, it leads to death, as Proverbs 14 says. Once a pastor got sick. He's a fairly famous pastor, and he had to stay in bed for a week or so, and he watched television for a week, and he figured, I might as well make some good use of it. You know, preachers always thinking of what they're going to say about what they hear and see. So he said he came up with five lies that were very common on regular media that has hit all of our hearts, and I've been won over, unfortunately, by them occasionally. And let's see if you have also, and see how the truth is so different from the lies you and I may tend to believe or that we are fed. And again, it's pretty critical, because if we build our house on the truth and doing what God says, then the house will stand. If we build our house on the lies, then we get wiped out. The first lie that he saw was this: all problems that you have are somebody else's fault. Lie number one: all problems you have is somebody else's fault. I put this into practice just last week, unfortunately, driving into a parking lot, looking for that perfect parking space that families do. So I pull around, and bang! Well, first of all, one of my family members points, go in that lane, so I take their advice, and bang! Into the pothole I go. It was a pothole. Thankfully, it was not hitting any other car. My immediate response was, why'd you tell me to go in that lane? All my problems were the fault of another. Well, PennDOT this and PennDOT that. No, my driving. My driving, that's the problem. All our problems, most of them, that really hurt us in terms of God and others, often are our own sin or a response to the sins of others that we are struggling to forgive. That's still on our behavior, in our heart. Sometimes we'll blame the family, parents, government, schools, the Lord. Proverbs says, a man's own folly ruins his life, and yet his heart rages against the Lord. But God says, that's not true. Be accountable for the things in your life that you have broken. Be accountable for them. The soul that sins, that's the one who will be held accountable. And so that sets us free when we do that. It's not other people's problems. It's our own problem. We're always as close to the Lord as we want to be. You know, nobody would stand up and give a testimony. I would be really close to the Lord if it wasn't for all the people around me. But sometimes that's what we say by not being accountable for our own walk. Live your life on the truth of God's Word, the clear revelation available to you, and what a change it'll be. The second lie is this. This world owes me happiness, and I'll be happy when I get whatever I want. It's a fun one to pursue, but it leaves you at the dead-end street. Next time you go shopping at Walmart or GameStop or I hope I got the name right, or Giant Eagle, go up to the salesperson and say, I would like 1 pound of joy, please, to go. And hopefully when they look at you and say, you know, we sell a lot of things here, but we don't sell any joy. How true. Joy is not something the world owns to give to you and I. It's just not there to be purchased or even attained. Joy comes from the Lord. God's joy would be our strength. Peter said, when I just think of Christ, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That may not have happened to Peter all the time, but he knew joy was in God. It was not even in the stuff he would try to pursue in a religious sense or non-religious sense. Jesus said, I tell you these things so that your joy could be complete if you'd follow these. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. So if you're going to have joy in your life, it's not that you're going to purchase it. Don't get that lie. A gift from God if you turn to Him. The truth of God's Word can set you free there. The third lie that we would take, probably put ourselves in this category, people are basically good and unselfish. You say, what planet are they observing? Or we might not say it about the whole human race, but we might say it about ourselves. I'm basically good and unselfish. Run away if I ever tell you that. The Bible lets us know we are in need of change. We're in need of repentance and forgiveness of sins. There is none righteous, no, not one. So that puts humanity in a healthy state of we can be changed with God's help. God's Word sets us free. The world's lies pin us in. Fourth lie, all beliefs are equally valid. Sounds helpful. But there's truth and there's falsehood, the Bible says. And God's Word says that the Scripture is profitable for correction. Have you been corrected lately from God? Then you're not listening to God. Because what He says is helpful to go in a different direction. Check out these Olympic athletes who are going through their trials right now to see who's going to compete for our country. And they didn't naturally, you know, show up on the track and just start running and somebody said, you're fast, we'll take you. They had to get coached and coached again and coached again for years for them to even be able to run in a manner that helps them excel and do well. And God trains us like that. When He gives you correction, don't say, I don't want to hear that. Say, that's good. Now I know I can grow with His help from His Word. Correction helps versus all beliefs being equally valid. The fifth lie is this. The answer lies within you. By ourselves, we can't meet God. He has to come and knock on the door of our hearts. Jesus said, you must be born from above. So somebody above me, Christ, I turn to Him and say, I need your help. That's some of the truth of God's Word that you could build your house on so that you won't get wiped out in the storms of life. And if we don't, again, hear God's word in our walk, then our thinking will be in our own minds and from the society around us. And the source of absolute truth, the only one, is God himself. He'll reveal it in the Bible, in creation. That's why people are discovering cures for things. Because God's a gracious God. It is out there if we would seek it well. If we don't, we believe lies that are very shifting. An example of this is the impact on family life. The second best-selling book of all time has made. I didn't know this, checking it out on a resource. The second best-selling book of all time. The first one is the Bible. The second one is, I don't know if you know which one, it is, believe it or not, Dr. Spock's baby book. 73 million copies. And I don't know if you have one that, you know, you can do what you want with it after I share. But in Dr. Spock's baby book, which has been around since the mid-50s, it was the first time a public figure came out and said, corporal punishment is all bad. There's nothing good about it whatsoever. And he also said, when a baby cries, you should go and meet the needs immediately. Sometimes I live my life that way. If I'm upset, I cry. I want my needs met immediately. And I can't blame it on Dr. Spock. But his book has influenced so many families in terms of the way they look at life and relationships that recently, unfortunately, he came out and said, whoops. He had the humility to admit, a lot of what I wrote in my baby book is not right. It's really the wrong way to help a person grow in a healthy manner. You know, he was willing to say that. You know, when Jesus tells us something, he says, for example, about his own words, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. Jesus doesn't say, whoops. You know that thing I said about loving your neighbor as yourself? It's bad advice. Boy, solid. Solid for all time. That we would set a heart free that is shaken and needs a foundation to build on. You can have an assurance that the one who loves the most, Christ, and who is God has come as a person, would tell you things that will help you and be a key to your health, your following the Lord, and set your heart free and deliver from a disaster that would be, someone said, humanity is love, but humanity is a disaster waiting to happen. How sad. We don't have to be that way. We could be I think with God's intervention, we're a miracle waiting to happen. We have miracles of little ones. You know, they just take in God's help freely. That's a good way to be. 80 times in the Bible, Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, because he wants us to build on him. A couple of ways to put it into practice would help us. First, commit to seeking the truth. Tell the Lord you don't know everything. Tell the Lord what you do know, you're not putting it into practice very well. Commit to seeking the truth. Be like a sponge. Say, Lord, I need to hear from you because it is a drought in my soul. I've had a famine of hearing God's word. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the things that really do give us anxiousness. What are we going to eat or drink or wear? Jesus understood all those anxious moments. Am I loved unconditionally or not? Or people in my life that I can grow in and be of help to? Just to share a personal testimony, Jesus said, continue in my word and you'll be my disciple. When I'm reading God's word on a regular basis, if I just say, Lord, please give me something from you and to help me in my daily life, he's faithful to speak to me consistently. I don't always hear him. It's not always the Mount of Transfiguration, but he's faithful. He'll feed the hungry. He'll feed the hungry heart. So to say, when I don't read the Bible on a regular basis, too busy, I can quote a lot of it anyway. I I start to miss Jesus. And I start to believe lies of my own thinking or the lies in what is around us. What we take in, we end up having spiritually. Commit to be a seeker of the truth. Get into God's Word on a regular basis. When I am troubled, if I turn to God's Word, I find an anchor for my soul that is at least as good as a good friend. And we all need good friends to connect to. But the Word of God, so powerful, can't recommend it to you enough. When I was a young pastor, when I did funerals, I used to go out and buy a bunch of paper New Testaments. And then if somebody passed on, like Elizabeth Kuhn or someone, I would write, "In memory of Elizabeth Kuhn," on every one. And I would pass it out to everybody who came to the funeral. Just because I was convinced, and still am, this is the best news I could give them for life and for facing difficult times. Commit to be a seeker of the truth, then commit to believing the truth. That is the person of Jesus. Jesus, can I please help me to follow you and trust you? That's a life change. You're going in this direction, and then suddenly you say, this is the wrong direction. God wrote that on my heart. I can turn and say, I need Christ, and I want to follow him. I'm going to tell you a story in the future about a man who started to turn away from God, but said something like this. He said, as little as he knew about Christ, he says, but Jesus, he said, that's somebody I could follow. He had his doubts about God. But he was honest enough to say, now, Jesus, that's somebody I could follow. So his heart was going to be open. Commit to believing the truth. Receive Christ. Believe on him and you'll be saved. You will have peace with God. And then this is a big one for all us Bible studiers. Commit to living the truth of God's word. This is the one to bring most conviction to my heart. Commit to living the truth of God's word. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. There's a story of a man who started a company. Great company, started to grow. You know, things going well. It's serving many people. And he had to go overseas. He said, I'm going overseas, start another part of the company. I'm going to send you letters on how to keep things the way they should be. So he goes overseas, writes some letters to the company. The people read the letters. He comes back after a year. It doesn't look like the same company, different values, and people forget about the good that they're to do with others. There are a lot of inner difficulties. And so he says, did you get my letters? Yeah, we got your letters. We were glad. We were so impressed by your letters. We gathered together every Wednesday night and studied them. We studied those letters the best we could. We sentence to sentence, and we connected. Every time you use the word work, we put all those sentences together. And I mean, we really went the ball on studying the thing. And they said, we even began to memorize many of your letters. In fact, we had a contest so you could memorize it better than the other guy. And he said, but I'm glad you had that kind of respect for my letters. But really, I wrote the letters for you to simply do what I ask you to do in my letters. Has anybody thought of that? They get it. They get it. Jesus, in our life, he said, it would be a wise person who hears my words and puts them into practice. Just simply put them into practice. That would be the life built on a rock. And I'm the first one to say, we cannot put God's word into practice without his help. So hard to do. So true and yet so hard to follow through. But with his help, they become a delight. And you say, well, this is why I was made for this. I was made to love God and to love people. I was made to be an ambassador for God. Who would give you that job but God himself? To be a doer of the word, so you become a person of the truth. And run like a hungry person or a thirsty person to God's word. And seek it in the teaching of others. Certainly one of the blessings of vacation for me, which I didn't, you know, force on my family like we had 12-hour devotions occasionally, was to take little hearings of God's word from the radio or from television. Get these down south preachers, you know, they really give you a good word. And that was like, that was as refreshing to my soul as the ocean was to my tired, arthritic knees. You know, but the goodness of God's word, that you would know Christ in them. One of my favorite verses, Jesus said, look in the scriptures because you think in them there's eternal life. But remember, they testify about me. Would you like to know God? Open his word and say, speak, Lord, your servants listen. And what a refreshment it will be to you. Let's pray and ask God to bring that consistent life to us with those commitments. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for some of these children's songs that tell the truth about the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. We thank you for saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. We could sing that, for the Bible tells me so. And yet, the Bible intimidates us. We turn our noses up at it. We presume to know more than we do. But there you are waiting to tell us of your love, your mission, the bright things you have for our future. So we're the foolish man who, if we would just even hear it and not put it into practice. Give us a heart after yourself just to take daily bread and put those basic directions of your truth into work. We need your help to do this. We say, I'll love my neighbor as myself. We fall down and so we give up. But Jesus doesn't give up on us or our neighbor. He says, go and love again. So here we go, Jesus, following you again into another week. Would you bring life to us and a hunger after yourself in your precious word of God? I thank you for how you influenced my life as a young Christian by it, and want to have that same freshness about it today. I pray this for each one here, and might there be great rejoicing in what you say to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.